And we turn now to the tale of three sheikhs. Today, the Kuwaiti parliament resolved a 9-day political crisis of leadership following the death of their emir in January. They nominated Prime Minister Sheikh Sabah al-Ahmad al-Sabah to replace Sheikh Saad al-Abdullah al-Sabah, who replaced the late Sheikh Jaber al-Ahmad al-Sabah. If you detect a certain similarity in those names, it's because Kuwait traditionally alternates power between two branches of the royal Sabah family. But the late emir failed to name a successor, thereby forcing the country's parliament to decide the question for the first time. Democracies provide a clear process to determine who succeeds to power, but in other types of government, this can be a major problem and has been many times throughout history. Joining us now is Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute in Stanford University. He's with us from the studios of member station KVPR in Fresno, California. Nice to have you on the program again, Victor.
Thank you for having me, Neil.
The case of Kuwait, this seems to be a country that's almost on the cusp between traditional monarchy and constitutional monarchy.
It is, but I think in most of the 22 countries of the Middle East, the Arab Middle East, whether you look at Ba'athism or the Mubarak dynasty or the Assad dynasty or the Saudi royal family, however you would characterize them left to right, they all have one thing in common: succession presents a dilemma, and it's usually they try to pass on power to somebody who's related to them, if not preferably a son, as we see in the case of Egypt and mm-hmm. Iraq and Syria.
And this has been the traditional problem of monarchies, is these transitions can occur at awkward moments when people are sick or very young or very old.
Absolutely. And classical political thinkers from Plato and Aristotle, this was one of the central cruxes that they dealt with, how to pass executive power to a new generation. And that was one of the great triumphs of constitutional government, that it had a mechanism that was not specific to individuals, because they really discussed this and they felt that merit was not passed necessarily on to somebody just because he was related to you. And that when not everybody has children that happened to be males until the last century, that was the preferable gender to assume power. And
one thinks of the adventures of King Henry VIII, for example.
Absolutely. Or look at Julius Caesar and then Augustus. For the next 11 Caesars, there was not one instance where a father was able to make his son an emperor.
There have been other attempts to come up with other solutions. The Ottoman Empire, for example, their sultan was descended from a royal line, but there was a tradition of selecting the operational head of the government, the Grand Vizier, from non-Turkish stock.
That was a very innovative method that the Ottomans used, say, after the 1600s, where they actually used Christian and infidel children who had been brought up into the royal court for key military and diplomatic and bureaucratic posts, on the idea that they were not beholden to a particular clan within Turkey that might threaten the authority of the sultan. And the sultan himself was, in theory, a slave as well, because he was the son most often of his father plus a woman out of the harem who was in theory a slave. So there was these strange mechanisms to prevent a takeover of power.
Mm-hmm.
But monarchies always had this problem. There's no way around it.
And this is often the result in, how do you do it? Well, coup d'etat and assassination are always popular.
Absolutely. Ever since Roman times, we've had generals that march on Rome from Spain or Gaul or Egypt to circumvent the hereditary process. Once it breaks down, the only time it really endures is if somebody can find a male son who seems to be competent and is brought up and has an apprenticeship.
Yeah. And this may be the origin of Winston Churchill's famous quote that democracy is the worst of all possible forms of government except for all of the others.
It is. And we think in the West, this is just a relic from our past. But look at the royal family in England today. Prince Charles is aging. He has two bright children who have avoided scandal so far. It's going to be very interesting to see if he's leapfrogged by them. And it reminds me of the 16th and 15th century wars of succession in England.
It may not be a war this time, I don't think.
But no, I don't think so. But it's the same issue, only in a different landscape.
Victor Davis Hanson, as always, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute at Stanford University, with us from the studios of member station KVPR in Fresno, California. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.